Hey everybody, if you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. We got the missus here.
Yeah.
We are on location in the Dominican Republic and we're here to talk to you about marriage and finances. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
All right, everybody. This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast. And I have who with me here?
Yeah, Brianna Henderson, your wife, honey, of 21 years. We're on location in the Dominican Republic to celebrate life and love and wanted to share that with you guys.
Yeah, this has actually been a exercise in perseverance.
It has been. You don't know how strong your faith is until it is what? Tested.
We're not talking about our marriage. We're talking about just trying to get this podcast together for you guys. Yeah. But it's all good. We're going to be here for another few days, but we wanted to get it out the way and just kind of talk through some of these issues that we alluded to.
Sure.
So thank you for watching, viewing all my repeat listeners and viewers, and if you're not a repeat listener and viewer, you're watching this for the first time, get ready to take the red pill to leave the matrix of the average to live a life of financial contentment.
Sure.
Which is where you put your money where your heart is.
That's it.
So what did we want to break into about this whole marriage and finances? Because it could be difficult, right?
It can be difficult, Dominique. It is said, and many people know this as a statistic, mm-hmm. that most marriages falter and or fail because of lack of communication and or some type of misunderstanding regarding marriage and finances particularly.
Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head. I think the key, if we're just pouring the cement for this house, is communication.
Sure.
That's with everything. Whether it's finances, whether it's how you're going to raise your kids. It's all these different things. I mean, you think differently about stuff than I do.
That's true.
Because we're individuals.
Yeah.
And we can celebrate our individuality.
Sure.
But we got to come to a common goal or rallying cry.
We do.
All right. So let's talk about because this has happened to us.
Yes.
So what if you have people that are in your pockets?
Yeah.
Like whether that's kids or grown family members or whatever. What would you say is the key to keeping the harmony in your relationship so that that doesn't break you guys apart?
So what we have to do is first, Dominique, feel that the union between you and I is greater than, and we get more worth from any other union outside. So when I give to someone else and it has some type of effect between you and I, I am valuing and or getting more worth from that outside relationship. And that's a red flag that I need to wave and pay attention to.
Yeah.
So regarding finances, we have to agree. I have to sit down with you and I have to say, hey, hon, our kids need X amount of money. And you say yes or no, or we deal with that and see, are we enabling that child? Are we doing them a disservice by giving them that when they should have actually managed their money correctly? You know, these sorts of things.
So a good example is our oldest is soon to be a senior in college.
Yeah.
And she is always talking to her mom about the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
But she tends to talk to me about the financial stuff. And so we have a budget for her, right?
We do.
But sometimes things go outside that budget. And what I have to do is I have to go back through her account.
Sure.
And see what her spending habits have been.
Yeah. And she also has grandparents.
She has grandparents.
Who give her money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she has, and that's she has fine. Income.
Yeah, that's fine. But when you come to us outside of the bounds of the budget we set and you ask for more money.
Sure.
Then I have to square it with the wife.
Absolutely.
Even though I'm your dad, I still got to square it with the wife. Because that's how you cause disharmony, is doing things, I guess, this is to say, lack of transparency, really?
Yeah,
definitely. Because that can go, that can get a little, deeper and go further than you want it to go.
Sure.
And you're thinking, oh, this is harmless. It was only $20 here, $25.
It's valuing them above the relationship that you have with your spouse. And that's all your spouse will hear or see.
Yeah.
So just know that, okay?
Yeah.
Whoever it is, all right?
And so this kind of goes into another point of the at least the communication part of it.
Yeah.
What do you do when you have the saver and spender? Because I'm more of the saver and you're more of the spender in the relationship.
I love to give. I love to do things with the kids. I love to do things with you. So I'm quick to spend more than just hold off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what we've done, we actually read this book by Patrick Lencioni, and I'll have to put the title in the show notes because I can't think of it. It's a yellow book with red handwriting or white handwriting.
Yeah.
But anyways, the point is he had the whole notion around a common rallying cry.
Got you.
Right? So I'm the saver, and, you know, left to my own devices, I can probably just continue to stack cash and we'll never go do anything fun like we're doing.
Here's the thing. Neither spending or saving is wrong in its own way.
No, both are
necessary.
Yeah.
But if you have some type of goal and or rallying cry, as Dominique mentioned, then the saver understands that, okay, if I've put away my set amount for this month, this week, this time, then I can relax.
Yeah.
And the spender can say, you know, if I have sat here and actually saved the amount, then I am free without any guilt or hiding or stuffing things in the closet and hiding, you know.
Yeah, because then you have to run to the store and sneak all the clothes that you wanted to buy into a bag.
We're not going to
avoid that.
We want to
because
avoid that.
Because that type of deception bleeds over into other areas of the relationship.
Oh, yeah, and you want your spouse to trust you.
So you need a common rallying cry there, which could be just like, hey, we're going to save for this amount of time or this amount of money.
That's right.
Around this amount of time.
And
then after that,
it's good for us
it's
to
extra.
Go.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both people feel like
validated.
There you go.
Yeah. So what about using another objective third party when you're having disagreement or...
Honey, when you're having disagreement with your marriage regarding any and all things, we do this. We seek counseling. We seek a third party objective person.
But what if you have a person that says, yeah, I agree with that, but the other person in my marriage does not agree with listening to other people?
Okay, so then you ask them, how is the way it is now working for us? Have we exhausted all the possibilities? Is this one that we need to consider? If that person is willing to work towards a common goal, a beautiful end, then they'll try whatever it takes.
And one of the tactics that we've used, I won't even say on each other, but it's just a good technique.
Yeah.
When you're having a disagreement with your spouse, instead of saying, when you do this, then this, like as a point of fact, say when you do this, you make me feel a certain way.
Sure.
Feelings can't be invalidated because that's how you feel.
Yeah.
And so if you have a person that loves you and that's willing to work with you, then they're going to recognize the feelings.
Sure.
Regardless of whether it's wrong, right, or something like that. Don't worry about the wrong, right bucket.
Being right
is overrated.
When you do this, it makes me feel as if you don't care about me.
Yes,
is that what you really want me to feel?
Yes.
No, hon, I don't want you to feel that.
Okay, so let's go to counseling, or let's get some advice, or let's bring in a financial planner to help us sort through,
I agree with that.
Sometimes you do need to do that. And I think most people don't recognize that advice is leverage. Good advice. Good advice is leverage.
You're
able to do more with less. Like you just hire out that expert in whatever area, right? You don't feel like doing your taxes, you get a CPA.
Exactly.
You don't know a lot about law, you go get an attorney. And so sometimes if you don't know enough about finances, or you and your spouse cannot agree on a common language, and there's distrust there, you can bring in an objective third party to bridge that gap.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what you should do, is you should make sure that you're taking advantage of that. So the thing is, there are other people who have made the mistakes. There are other people who have walked the line of whatever.
Yeah.
And so you getting their opinion only is better for you, because theirs was a bought lesson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a lesson that they had to work through.
Yeah.
When they tell you advice, it's as if you have served through those lessons as well without the heartache.
Yeah. Without the heartache is a key thing.
So that's a good thing.
So what are our thoughts around debt? Because...
Yeah.
So if you just want some numbers, $20 trillion U.S. economy.
Wow.
That's what we spend as you and me and everybody else.
Consumer debt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, consumer spending.
Consumer spending.
Okay. Well, let me back up. $20 trillion is what's spent. 3/4 of that is consumer spending.
Gotcha.
And a lot of, if you think about the two ways that you spend money, is either through cash purchases or through financing, credit, debt.
Yeah.
Then a lot of that's going to be debt, house, school, cars. I would say that a good rubric is just to minimize the amount of bad debt that you have.
Yeah, see, society has this bad debt, good debt. Dominique, you could probably want to get into what
so
that actually means.
Bad debt would be anything that does not have an asset behind it that's appreciating.
Okay.
So when you have an asset and you purchase it, even if you don't purchase it for cash and you have to finance it, you would like for it to be appreciating over time.
Sure, sure.
Versus it having a depreciating.
Yeah.
Like, so one thing is an example is you buy, let's say you make $100,000 a year and you buy a $50,000 car.
Now,
the car's not worth $50,000 as soon as you drive it off the lot.
Sure.
But
that's,
you're going to be
your income.
Yeah.
There's a percentage or something like that regarding some purchases, right?
I tell my clients that you probably want to have no more than a third of your take-home pay in your house payment. Right? You can do, take-home pay is really conservative, but if you even did gross income, so no more than a third of your gross income, when you look at it on a monthly basis, should be going towards house.
Gotcha.
Because you don't have enough to save, and there's not enough left over,
to
and you'll be
with,
you'll be going paycheck to paycheck.
And we don't want that.
And you don't want that. So let's go back to the debt. So I myself, full disclosure, we have debt. We're paying off our house, right?
Sure.
And so I would say as soon as you can get to just paying off the house and then going past that and paying off and then being debt free.
Yeah.
Just because our worldview is that the borrower is slave to the lender.
Oh man, isn't it? And we have so many goals and dreams that we want to accomplish.
Yeah.
And man, having to work just to pay that debt, it's a whip.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially if it's a zero interest rate, I guess you can use that to you know, kind of move some things around and create some extra leverage and stack cash or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're paying, you know, 5 or 6 or more in interest, you can be putting that back in your pocket.
We need to get out of debt. Here's the thing. At the beginning of our marriage, I came in with school debt, college debt. And so we had, going back to that rallying cry, we had to decide, you know what? We don't want to start the marriage with this debt.
Yep.
So as soon as we can, let's pay off this.
And that was the priority. We both agreed.
So we chunked it down, didn't do a lot of extra in order to get that down. And we felt the better for it. Having, you know, accomplished that goal, and that's with all things, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think so, just to kind of sum it up, you need, like, if you're building a house here, the very first thing on the first level, the foundation would be the level of communication. You gotta talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And after...
It's your spouse, it's your partner, you know what I mean?
Yeah, after you have developed the communication, it may be necessary to bring in sometimes an objective third party.
And that's okay.
And leverage
advice.
That's okay.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're weak or it doesn't mean you're incapable.
No.
It just means, it actually means you're smart.
Absolutely.
If you want to just kind of look at what separates the top 1% of successful people from everybody else.
Sure.
Is they leverage advice.
Yeah, they do.
They don't spend their time Googling or YouTubing how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just hire it out.
They go to people who've actually done the thing.
And then I would say the last thing is to manage your debt appropriately. You know, have a budget, have what you're going to spend, and agree upon it.
Yeah.
And that common rallying cry, that helps.
Definitely. And that communication goes back to when you have other people that are in your life and you love them dearly, we're not going to enable them by giving, money and having talked to our spouses about that. We want to make sure that we're transparent.
Yeah, you need
that
the open lines of communication
there.
So, cool. We're done here, right?
We're done here.
We're going to go get in the ocean or something.
Let's do it.
Because we're in the Dominican Republic. We love you guys, but not that much. We're not, I mean, really, come on now. We're going to go.
It's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to keep our promise, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely did. So, if you want to continue the discussion, we can definitely do that in the Facebook group.
Yes.
And it's... hey, how you doing?
Hola.
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 Wait, there's friendly people here in the DR.
Yeah, I know. I think he called us Obama.
Do I look like President Obama?
Sure.
Hopefully not.
Sure. Hola.
But yeah, if you want to continue the discussion, we can do that inside the Facebook group, Creating Your Roadmap to Financial Contentment. Bree and I will be in there answering questions or just talking about life and money.
Life and money.
So you can get to the level you want to get. That's what this is all
about.
Let's
do it, guys.
All right. So, on location in the DR, celebrating 21 years of marriage, just sharing a little bit of what's helped us get to this point.
Yeah, it's a lot.
All right.
Just a tidbit.
Just a tidbit.
All right.
We'll see you guys next time. Take care. Bye-bye.